a totally new era in human history. And that is why the very term New Age was invented by the devil. The New Age began with the Incarnation. And just for your information, the New Age movement, so widespread in our country, denies the Incarnation. We saw how the Holy Spirit made possible the Incarnation. He made possible the dawn of Christianity. He made possible the elevation of humanity beyond what it would ever have been had God not become man. And the Holy Spirit gave human beings through Christ, conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, gave human beings capacity for superhuman power of doing God's will here on earth and superhuman happiness in the life to come. Our present meditation is on the Holy Spirit and our baptism. There will be four parts to this abbreviated meditation. First, Christ's precept of baptism and the receiving of the Holy Spirit in chapter 3 of St. John's Gospel. Secondly, the superhuman powers that we receive at baptism. Third, the superhuman urges, instincts, inclinations, again, that we receive at baptism. And finally, the superhuman capacity for satisfaction already here on earth that we receive from the Holy Spirit when we are baptized. I will first read what St. John tells us in his third chapter. Now there was a certain man named Nicodemus, a Pharisee. This man came to Jesus at night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you have come a teacher from God, for no one can work the signs that you work unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Amen, amen, I say to you, unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb? Have you born again? Jesus answered, Amen, amen, I say to you, as a man is born again of water and the Spirit, then we repeat, unless a man be born again of water and the Spirit. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not wonder that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it will, and hear the sound of his voice, but you do not know where it comes from or where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. The Gospel of the Lord. And the Spirit, referring to being born of the Spirit, is always capitalized. Now this needs to be said. At baptism, we are born, better reborn, of the Holy Spirit. What are we talking about? We are quoting Jesus in the Gospel written at the end of the first century. That's why John, the evangelist, was spared martyrdom. She would survive until the end of the first century. Hear it. So we could write a gospel that would cope with the heresies. Heresies that arose in the church by the year 100 A.D. As I told you, and my Muslim potential candidate for conversion to the Catholic faith told me. For years I thought of becoming a Catholic. What I see among Catholics, so far from inspiring me, turns me off. So I told him, his first name, by the way, is Roger. Keep Roger in your prayers. Roger, this began already among the apostles. There was an apostate apostle by the name of Judas Iscariot. And by the end of the first century, there was a flood of heresy. One of my complaints about heretics in our day is that they're all plagiarists. There's not been a new heresy in the last 1600 years. All they do is change the name. What was Jesus telling, first of all, Nicodemus and through him to all of us? Christ was telling him and us that we have two kinds of life, and you better understand this. You have the life of the body we receive the moment we're conceived in our mother's womb. Our mother and father provide the body. God immediately creates out of nothing, creates an immortal soul at our conception, and infuses that soul into the just conceived body. That is the beginning of our natural life. repeat. That's the beginning of our natural life. However, that soul, when we are conceived in our mother's womb, that soul is lifeless, except naturally. That soul is supernaturally dead. And consequently, when we are conceived and then 9 months later are born, we have a human life. Two adjectives are crucial for understanding here our faith. They are synonyms. We have a natural life, also called our human life. And this natural or human life, first of all, has powers or faculties. We have a mind and a will. In the body we have all kinds of faculties. We can taste, we can see, we can hear, we can smell. Still, our natural human body has powers or faculties. This same natural or human body has instincts or inclinations. To put these faculties that we possess into practice. I've taught too many students for too many years. They all have a human mind, the power to think. But here, you're all naturally lazy. I won't say more. And the laziest part of our being is the mind. That's why, as I keep telling people, 90% of the books borrowed from American libraries each year, 90% are fiction. People do anything except think. I repeat, I've taught too many students. I ask them a question. You heard this how many times? It's not that they don't know the answer. They didn't even hear the question. Their minds are in some dream world. So we have to have instincts or inclinations to use these powers and put them into practice. And finally, we have still on the natural human level of our, well, natural existence, we have satisfactions when we use these natural powers. Did you know there are some people, I've heard about this, there are some people that actually eat 3 times a day. Did you ever hear that? And of course, by now, they would have stopped eating long ago, unless, well, They got some satisfaction from eating, as we casually say, a good meal. That's on the natural human level. But we've been saying that Jesus instituted better, commanded, better still, imperatively commanded, unless a man is born again of water and the Holy Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Is not my place here to explain how those who have never been baptized can reach heaven. But they must have, as the church teaches, at least baptism of desire. Part two of our meditation. Just as in the natural order we have human powers, human faculties we receive when we are conceived and then born, so through baptism we receive and now this needs to be understood. We receive superhuman powers. Otherwise called supernatural. And the English language, I've told some of you so many times, is the worst language in existence. The worst language for even talking the Catholic faith. All over Detroit now, one big billboard after another advertising Merit cigarettes. Do they have in Chicago too? Lord have mercy. If there is one word that is expunged, eradicated from every vocabulary by Protestantism, it is the word merit. For the obvious reason, you don't have a free will, you cannot merit. Meritum in Latin comes from the Latin word merix, which means business. And meritum in Latin means wage. You earn. You earn from God by doing what? By using your free will to cooperate with the will of God. Then you earn. Then you earn, otherwise known as merit. What the unbelieving world won't do, shall I see under the inspiration of the evil spirits to denigrate, to disgrace, to make a laughing stock of all Catholic faith. Hocus, hocus pocus is a Protestant term for the Latin hoc est corpus meum. the Latin words of consecration of the bed and the sacrifice of the Mass. Hocus pocus. I'm being very open and I'll be hard-hitting. Most American Catholics have been Protestantized. They don't really understand. I know what I'm talking about. Their Catholic faith. We receive at baptism because we are born again of the Holy Spirit. We receive 7 phenomenal powers. All our due in this meditation is give the names and say a word. The rest of the retreat will be, the last 3 parts of this meditation. We receive superhuman powers called the supernatural virtues. First, pertaining to God, in a relationship to God, we receive the powers, otherwise known as virtues, of faith, hope, and charity. I don't know how many by now, thousands of people I've asked, what does the word virtue literally mean? They don't know. No idea. That's why it's not in my notes, but I think I should tell you. Will you please learn some Latin? Will you please? The Latin word from which virtue comes, of course, is virtus. You want the virtus. Virtus is power. Power in the soul. Not potentia. I see the power of a hurricane or a volcano. That's potentia. Virtus is power. Power of the soul. You receive 3. In English. What cheap words. Superhuman. Beyond nature. Therefore, supernatural powers. Powers for the mind. In our faith. Power for the will. In our hope, and power for the will in our charity. Receive, remember, as Christ told Nicodemus, unless a person is born again of water and the Spirit, unless the Holy Spirit conferred on us at baptism powers we never had or would have had had we not been baptized. Those are the powers in relationship to God called the theological virtues. Better known as superhuman powers in relationship to God. my faith began. Know things about God we'd never, never know. Our own native powers of intellect, powers of trusting in God with the virtue of hope, and especially the power to love God superhumanly, loving God with an impossible, humanly impossible charity. And showing that love by loving human beings beyond their natural capacity for being loved. In the Catholic faith, there's no such word as unlovable referring to a human being. But then, still on the level of powers, we receive a baptism from the Holy Spirit. Superhuman powers in dealing with our fellow human beings, otherwise known as the moral virtues. The moral virtues. The moral virtues of prudence, of justice, of fortitude and temperance. In teaching these subjects to my Jesuit students, and I kept repeating, I'm talking to believers. I am talking a language which the world that does not have our faith may use the words, has no remote concept of what we are talking about. We go on. No less than we have, as we must have, natural inclinations, urges, instincts, to put our natural powers into practice. Unless we got hungry, we wouldn't eat. As we became thirsty, we wouldn't drink. Unless we became tired, we wouldn't sleep. So, there are corresponding supernatural inclinations, instincts, and they are called the gifts of the Holy Spirit. In all the human education of the world, will not provide a person with the knowledge that they need, if they are believing Catholics, to know what even the words mean. There are therefore seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. I'm just giving you the vocabulary about what we're going to talk about for the rest of the retreat. They are the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and counsel for the mind. That counsel, just for the record, is spelled S-E-L. There are four supernatural instincts, inclinations of the mind, enriched by the supernatural virtues receives from the Holy Spirit at baptism, to put those powers into practice. And then the gifts of the Holy Spirit for the will, fortitude, piety, and fear of the Lord. Not my business here to go into detail, but over the years in teaching, and the retreat is, let's face it, also, in this case, a weekend of instruction in the faith. I always first gave my students the basic outline of what we're going to cover. These gifts of the Holy Spirit are the supernatural infused at baptism instincts we need to put the virtues that we also received at baptism into use. Finally, at baptism, we receive the 12, this time it's 12, fruits of the Holy Spirit. As I've said on more than one occasion, the moment an American hears the word fruit, he thinks of an apple, a banana, a pear, a peach, or maybe grapes. The Latin verb again, my second exhortation, learn some Latin. The Latin verb for to enjoy is frui, spelled F-R-U-I. There are therefore 12 enjoyments, 12 satisfactions of the Holy Spirit that again we receive when we are baptized. And now, just to name them, as I go through this list, you might say to yourselves, gosh, it's already Thursday, and we finished the retreat on Sunday morning. I assure you, the retreat could go on. Is May 10th Sunday? The retreat could go on till May 10th, 1999. I'll make sure we'll cover the ground by May 10th, 1998. Oh, how starved so many Catholics are. I don't see enough knowing their faith, not even knowing some of the basic vocables, some of the basic vocabulary of the Catholic faith. I wouldn't dare pass around a slip of paper to each one of you and ask you to give me the list of the 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit. I'll spare you the humiliation. Some of the names may sound repetitive. As we go through the retreat, we'll explain as much as our time will allow. the 12 fruits or satisfactions of the Holy Spirit are number one, charity; number two, joy; number three, peace; number four, patience; number five, benignity; number six, goodness; number seven, longanimity; number eight, mildness; number nine, faith; number 10, modesty; number 11, continency; and number 12, chastity. We have 5 minutes left in this meditation. What are we being told? We're being told that we will be baptized, we received the powers called virtues that only the Holy Spirit could confer. We received the urges or instincts to put these powers into practice. And now we received 12 guarantees of joy here on earth, of satisfaction in putting the virtues into practice here on earth. We define happiness as the satisfaction of the will. Everyone wants to be happy, but dear God, how do you attain even a measure of this happiness in what we appropriately call the Valley of Tears? We attain this happiness and will be only as happy as we use the powers, otherwise known as the virtues, infused into our souls at baptism. We'll be only as happy as we respond to the supernatural instincts of the Holy Spirit, called his gifts. God wants us to be happy. And among the demonic lies of Marxism, I've said how many times, I began reading Karl Marx at the age of fourteen. I'm there. My blood kinship is of Slavic ancestry. I never spoke English at home. And if there is one thing that Marxism has done, and deeply saturated our nation with, it is the demonic lie that you get satisfaction in the measure that you do your own will. That was the lie that created hell. That's what Lucifer both believed and taught his followers. The Latin phrase, non serviam, I will not serve. I'm in charge. My will is supreme. Let this God mind his own divine business. I repeat, this is no ordinary retreat. I prayed an astral light. What should be the underlying theme of the 1998 retreat before Mother's Day? On the Holy Spirit. First, because the Holy Father wants us to concentrate on the Holy Spirit in the second last year before the close of our century. And because we need to know and understand what it means to have been baptized, and as Christ told Nicodemus, received the Spirit. We are not natural human beings. We have been supernaturalized, superhumanized. Here I coined the verb, we have been miraculized. We receive power to do what is beyond the capacity of created human nature. And let me tell you, in the world in which we live, sees us living this supernatural, superhuman, miraculous life. Blink, shake their heads. What's going on here? That's what the pagan Romans asked themselves in the first three centuries of Christian history. These people are idiots. They must be wiped out. I would like to quote, and have more than once quoted, that one sentence that I saw carved in soft stone at Pompeii. Date before, 70 AD. Christiani delendi sunt. Christians must be eradicated. Hear it. 30 years of working with the Holy See, I know what I'm saying. There are powers in our nation doing everything in their power to eradicate the Catholic Church. I hope you believe me. In God's name, let's wake up. Is not merely a question of staying alive as Catholics. but are being living martyrs. Mary, Mother of God, except for you, who receive the Holy Spirit at the Annunciation, would not have your divine Son. You were baptized and received a share of the power that you possessed from the moment of your Immaculate Conception. We received something of the superhuman instincts that your mother had from the dawn of your existence. Oh, dear mother, saw the mother for the cause of our joy. Help us, we beg you, to learn that we are to be happy, deeply, profoundly happy here on earth. By standing under the cross of your Son, being covered by His blood, our loyalty to His will. Mary, Mother of our Redeemer,